Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I want to make our listening audience aware of not only the books that I have authored, but some articles that I have written. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will find there information describing the books I have authored. One of them co-authored with my daughter, The Finality of Jesus Christ. And if anybody will let the scriptures answer their questions about whether there are many ways to God, this will be decisive. Another very important book I've written is Polishing God's Monuments, Pillars of Hope for Punishing Times. I've written a book on marriage. Should help a lot of people if both are serious about walking with God in their marriage. Marriage Without Remorse, Rules for the Road. And finally, one about the pastoral ministry would be good for elders and leaders, too. Dispatches from the Front Lines, Reflections on the Glory and Grind of Pastoral Ministry. On the same website, you'll see a tab that says Articles. You will discover there some articles that I've produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. One of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice. After all, that has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have. We continue our exposition of select Psalms. We just started looking at Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the entire Bible by far. And there is no way in the short compass of this program that we can cover this psalm. But what I'd like to do is look at it a little bit thematically the rest of the way, and picking out, since it concentrates on the Word of God, on the law of God, the commandments of God, we're talking about the revelation of God, much teaching about that that would be helpful to us, I would hope. So let's pick it up with verse 9, and we'll just kind of thread our way through Psalm 119, and I will highlight certain themes, motifs, most of them related to the Word of God, the commandments of God, that I think ought to be edifying, enlightening, and motivating. By the way, let me say a word about this psalm. Psalm 119 is an acrostic psalm, which means what you look at there, the paragraphs, all began with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. It's not the only psalm like that, but it is one of them. Now we come to the second section or paragraph, the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The first word begins with B. How can a young man keep his way pure? The psalmist says, by keeping it according to thy word. Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said. Happy are they, fortunate are they. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's not just at the end that we shall meet the Lord and be approved by the Lord, but the point is that the more our heart corresponds to the heart of God, that's a work of the Spirit of God working through the Word. The more we see God, the more we know God, the more we resonate with God, because we are more and more of one spirit. If we're going to be happy, We need a pure heart. Now, our hearts will never be completely pure. Let's be real here. We are fallen people. We're in process. The Spirit of God lives within us, and we are being, to use a biblical word, sanctified. We're being made holy. It is, as I say, a process. Jesus said in his high priestly prayer in John 17, Father, sanctify them. Make them holy according to your word. Thy word is truth, Jesus said. Folks, it is the Spirit of God always working through the Word of God that produces in us likeness to God, conformity to Christ. There is never any happiness, there is never any fulfillment, there is never any well-being in the sight of God where there is impurity, corruption, and unholiness. The more our hearts are purified, the more we are sanctified, the happier, the healthier, and the more of the divine presence and intimacy with God we will experience. How can a young man, a young woman, anybody keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. It's not just reading it, it's not just studying it, but it is keeping it. Ultimately, it needs to translate to our feet. It's not just talk, it's walk. The psalmist says in verse 10, with all my heart. And I will call attention to some of the intense expressions that we see in Psalm 119. Not all of them. It's way too long. But notice that he says here, and it's not the first time. We've seen it in verse 2. It won't be the last time that we encounter it. With all my heart, I have sought thee. That's one of the things that we have to learn in our approach to God in our walk with Christ. It is wholeheartedness. It is completeness. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, my favorite verse in all the Bible, though I have many, the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may show himself strong to those whose heart is completely his. It's the same idea. God hates double-mindedness. He hates a spirit that is trying to decide which way to go, which is halting between two opinions, which is halting between purity and impurity, between righteousness and unrighteousness, devotion to him and devotion to the world. You cannot serve two masters. The psalmist says, with all my heart I have sought thee. God loves that. And God comes to meet those who gather their hearts and hitch it to one loyalty. That's to him. Do not let me wander from thy commandment. What the psalmist is recognizing there is human nature. We are by birth. We are broken. We are fallen. The Adamic fall, the fall of Adam, reached out and touched us all of his seed, all of his offspring. And we have a tendency to migrate to the flesh, to wander away from God's commandments. In verse 11, he says, thy word I have treasured in my heart. There it is. With all my heart I have sought thee. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Treasured. I don't see much of that anymore. It's less and less in this darker and darker age. More and more, even people in our churches do not really resonate. I'm sorry to say it, but it's true. Do not resonate with the Word of God. We live in a post-Christian, we live in a post-modern world where truth is not a very secure concept. It's harder and harder, not that we hesitate, but it's harder and harder to say, thus saith the Lord, and have that ring any bells, because people less and less have any sense of the fact that God has spoken. But God loves those hearts where people recognize his word as his word, and they treasure it in their hearts. The psalmist says, I've treasured it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. He recognized that there's a correlation between God's word and sanctification. Jesus said it. I go back to it, John 17. Sanctify them. Make them pure, our heavenly Father. Make them pure, Father. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. I've said it 1,000 times. Virtually every good thing that happens to us happens through the Spirit working through the Word. People treasuring the Word of God. It's a delightful thing to see. It's a terrible thing to see when people don't treasure the Word of God. We try everything in our churches to get it going. We try entertainment. We try music. We try drama. We try holy huddle groups. We try relationships. We try community. We put all of our eggs in every basket except just the teaching and the treasuring of the Word of God. I will say it again. Every good thing that happens as a result of the Spirit working through the Word. God's Word is inspired, the Apostle says. It is Spirit-breathed. It is God-breathed. And it is profitable. It is beneficial for teaching, for correction, for reproof, rebuke, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God, the teacher, might be equipped for every good work. Bring it. Bring the Word of God, and it will have a powerful effect on those who treasure the Word of God. With all my heart I have sought thee. Do not let me wander from thy commandments. That's an appeal for God's mercy. Thy word I have treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the project. When we love God, we hate evil. Sin is evil. And our desire is to please God, not antagonize him. So blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. Verse 13. With my lips I have told all the ordinances of thy mouth. The psalmist has been a witness to the testimonies of the Lord. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. There's that verb, rejoiced. It's not an ordinary thing to him. It's not a common thing. It's not a mundane thing. This is something precious. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, the things that God has said and told his prophets, as much as in all riches. That's the measurement of wealth to me. Then I want you to see in verses 15 and 16 the verbs, I meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. How many people sitting in our churches today, professing Christians, could actually, in all honesty, say to God, say right to his holy face, I meditate on thy precepts? I'm sure there are a lot who do, but I'm also sure the vast majority could not, in all honesty, say that. How many could say, I delight in thy statutes? I shall not forget thy word. I don't intend to. I don't aim to. Meditate and delight. Those are the kind of people who marinate the mind in the Word of God. And it makes a difference, because the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It gets in there and it digs down. It finds us where we really are. It finds us where we're hiding out. It's a strip search. That's what the Word of God does. We go in. Some people are bold enough to read the Word and question it. But the function of the Word is to question us, to search us out and find it. And it does that. And it goes down to the corners and the cracks and the crevices of the heart. And it's like a mirror. James says that. And we read it. And as we read it, we begin to find out who we are and lots of times who we're not. And it should awaken us. And the third paragraph, the psalmist says, deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. This psalmist says, I want to live. Deal bountifully with me, so I can live and keep thy word, and that is, be light in the world and salt on the earth. But he prays to the Lord, because again he recognizes his human weakness. Open mine eyes that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. One of the fathers said, and Martin Luther picked it up, the word of God is like a stream that a lamb may ford in its plain and clear simplicities. On the other hand, it is a paradox. It's like a river that an elephant must swim. It's too big for all of us. We can't just grab it up, systematize it. The revelation of God that he's given us is partial, but it's plenty to bend the mind. And we can never get our mind bent around the great truths of Scripture. We can never understand everything. We must always go before the Lord and say, Lord, help me, give me understanding. Open my eyes, because our eyes need to be open. Every once in a while, I'll be reading the Scriptures. I've read the Scriptures. I've known the Scriptures. Since I was a child, I was raised in a Christian home. I was taught the Scriptures in a Christian home. Oh, I don't mean when I left home after I finished college. We lived near the college and went on to seminary. I don't mean that I hadn't read even all of the Scriptures, but I had a far better grasp of Scriptures than most young men my age, simply because of that benefit. But listen, the more I've read the Scriptures, the more I learn, the more I have epiphanies, these moments of clarity, and I say, I go what I call from aha to aha, and you can too. I get that. Oh, I'd never seen that. Open mine eyes that I may see wonderful things from thy law, because all the things in God's word are wonderful. Then the psalmist complains, but not in a carnal way, a way that most of us believers would complain today. He says, I'm a stranger on the earth. More and more, I have that sense of alienation and estrangement. I expect you do too, if you know the Lord. You're walking with him. The word that I use a lot is disorientation. The world is moving so far, so fast in the direction that Isaiah talked about, where what is good is evil and what is evil is good. What was sweet is bitter and what is bitter is sweet. What is light is darkness and what is darkness and light. It's just disorienting. It's confusing and you just feel like, man, you ever feel this way? I was not born for this age. I saw that in a movie that I listened to a while back. I forget who the actor is. I always forget these crazy things. I'm not a big movie guy, but this Western gunslinger had been condemned. It was one of those deals where you pick him up dead or alive and collect your money. But somehow he connected with an old lawman friend, and they went out, did the world a lot of good, killed some really bad guys, and the governor wrote him a pardon. And at the end of their mission, the old sheriff hands him that pardon from the governor, and he opens it up, looks at it, and tears it up, lets it fall to the ground. And the lawman friend says, "What? That's a pardon." He says, "You know what? I'm paraphrasing. I don't want to go back into that world that this pardon invites me into. I wasn't born for this generation." That's kind of what the psalmist is saying here. "I'm a stranger in the earth. Enlighten me, Lord. Do not hide thy commandments from me. I just feel like in this world I'm flying in the fog. I need the clarity. I need the moral clarity, the spiritual clarity to live in this environment. Do not hide thy commandments from me." That ought to be the prayer of every Christian man and woman, and we need it. "My soul," he says, "is crushed with longing after thine ordinances at all times. Thou dost rebuke the arrogant, the cursed who wander from thy commandments." He now prays in verse 22 that the Lord would take away reproach and contempt from him. He feels it. It's all around him. As I say, he's an alien in his environment. He gets that reproach and contempt from those who do not know and do not care about the ways of God. He asks the Lord to lift the reproach and the contempt he feels from the world, because "I observe thy testimonies. I'm trying to honor you, and we pray that you'll honor me. Even though princes sit and talk against me," we don't know who this psalmist was. It doesn't say David in the attribution. "Thy servant meditates on thy statutes." I know where my security is. It's his security blanket. "Thy testimonies are also my delight. They are my counselors," and therefore he feels safety. And in this culture, there's where our safety is. Sometimes the Word of God seems to be totally irrelevant in this culture. You've got a lot of believers crazily running around trying to be relevant. Let me tell you, our message and the Word of God is not irrelevant. It is the culture that is irrelevant. Our mission is to try to, by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God working, help the culture see just how irrelevant it really is. He continues in verse 33 as we skip a few verses. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end." Just let me understand your ways, and I am determined to walk in them. He doesn't mean in the flesh. Of course he knows that it is by the Spirit of God upon him that he'll find the power to do that. But he knows he needs understanding, as do we all. Things are confusing sometimes in this world. Everything is not black and white. Things have a context, and in those contexts, sometimes there's confusion. So give me understanding that I may observe thy law and keep it. And there's that phrase again, keep it with all my heart. That's what's pleasing to God, this wholeheartedness when it comes to obeying God. Make me walk in the paths of thy commandments. Ah, that's the Spirit of God. He understands that he needs the Spirit of God to do that. Make me walk in thy ways. Reminds us of Philippians chapter 2, where we are told to work out your salvation, to work out what God has worked in you with fear and trembling, with reverence. For it is God who works in you to cause you to will and to do of his good pleasure. This is in perfect accord with that. Make me walk in the path of thy commandments. Lord, I delight in it. Now fill my heart with intention. Our problem lots of times is not desiring to do the right thing. Our problem is intending to. And here we see in the psalmist in these words, I delight in it. He delights in it. And when we delight in it, that feeds intentionality. So he prays the Lord to incline his heart to thy testimony and not to dishonest gain, because it's easy in this flesh for the gravity of the flesh to lead us in that direction. He prays that the Lord would lead him upward and not let him drift downward into sin. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. We all need revived every once in a while because we are flesh, because we drift downward, because we go to formalism. Our worship becomes ceremonial. We go through the motions. We get perfunctory. We get mechanical. And every once in a while, we notice that in ourselves, and we call ourselves back, and we do what the psalmist does. We ask the Lord to turn away our eyes from looking at vanity. We've noticed ourselves drifting in that direction, and we pray, revive me in thy ways. Establish thy word to thy servant. Root it, ground it in me, because it's that which produces reverence for thee. Folks, that reverence, that fear of God, not a craven fear, not a cowering fear, but that holy reverence for God that should belong to every Christian heart, that irreverence, that no fear of God that characterizes all unbelievers. We only get that fear of God, that true holy fear of God, through the Word of God. That's why he says, establish thy word to thy servant. My, what's the big takeaway here? Get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Get in it with all your heart. Desire it with all your mind. The Word of God is an extension of God himself. It's living. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. There is something in the Word like something in you, and that's the Spirit of God. So beg him. It's a prayer according to his will to establish his Word to your servant, that because it is that which produces reverence for God in us. My. So little of that, turn away my reproach, which I dread, for thine ordinances are good. I long for, there again, that verb, I long for thy precepts. Revive me through thy righteousness. As we see it, as we understand it, it revives the human spirit. I want to skip to verse 44 through verse 48. So I will keep thy law continually. That's his resolution, forever and ever. In other words, as long as I live, Lord, by your grace, by your Spirit upon me, I will keep your law continually. That's my plan. That's my heart. And then he says, and I will walk at liberty, which reminds us of John 8, 31 through 32. For I seek thy precepts. Jesus said, you are my disciples if you do what I say, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The psalmist understood that. He understood that liberty not being the ability to do what we want to do, but he meant the ability to do what we ought to do, the moral power. The moral power, just such that those two combine, wanting to do the right thing and the power to do the right thing. He says, I'll get that liberty. I'll get that liberty through thy law. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That truth was already right here. If we want to walk in liberty, walk in the ability, the power to do what we ought to do, and at the same time to see things in such a light that we want to do what we ought to do, that comes from the sanctifying power of the Spirit working through the Word. So he says in verse 65, teach me good discernment and knowledge, for I believe in thy commandments. I trust in them. He says in verse 68, thou art good and doest good. Therefore teach me thy statutes, because God's statutes partake of the character of God. The arrogant have forged a lie against me. With all my heart I will observe thy precepts. There's my safety. Their heart is covered over with fat, but I delight in thy law. It's good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes, because it's in affliction we are driven to the Word of God. Well, thank you, dear friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.